Good morning. I'm calling this meeting of the Tahoe Regional Planning Implementation Committee to order. The date is Wednesday, December 14th, 2022, and it's right o'clock at 9 o'clock. And the reason I'm starting is that we have a lot of stuff on this agenda. The first item on the agenda is a roll call to determine quorum. Maria, would you please do the roll?
Ms. Salding, here. Ms. Diss. Ms. Gustafson.
Here.
Ms. Hill.
Here.
Mr. Honigman. Mr. Lawrence.
Here.
Mr. Yates.
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. And I understand that Jessica is driving up and she may be listening, but maybe couldn't say aye here. So I'll now go over the remote and in-person meeting rules for the day. For members of the public who are joining us remotely, to observe the meeting, go to trpa.gov under the calendar header. Click on Governing Board Hybrid Meeting for December 14th, 2022. There you will find a link to the public webinar hosted on Zoom. To address committee members directly with your comments, raise your hand in Zoom by clicking Raise Hand at the bottom of your screen at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you'll be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the committee. If you use the dial-in numbers to join us by telephone, you can dial *9 to raise your hand and be unmuted. To remote committee members, if you wish to speak, please also raise your hand in Zoom. You will find the hand icon on the bottom of your screen. Remote committee members may not use the chat box to make any comments or to have sidebar conversations. Please, everyone, remember to mute your mic unless speaking to cut down on the background noise. Finally, I would like to ask that all remote members turn on their cameras if they are able. Members of the public who have joined us in person, please raise your hand at the appropriate time for public comment. You will be called to the front to speak. Committee members who are in person, please raise your hand if you wish to comment or get my attention and clearly speak into the microphone in front of you. If you are viewing the webinar on a personal computer, and please ensure that your microphone and speakers are turned off to prevent feedback into the room. The next item is the approval of the agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda, John?
Mr. Chairman, just want to make one clarification on item 4. It's listed as an informational item, but in parentheses it says action. It is not an action item. It's an informational item.
Thank you. Appreciate that. We'll deem the agenda approved as amended. Make it clear that item number 4 is not an action item. So that will proceed now with approval of minutes. We are now on agenda item 2, approval of minutes. We have a set of minutes from July 27th, 2022 on page 7 of your packet. Do any members of the committee wish to make a change? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes. Shelley.
No changes, Mr. Chairman. I move to approve the RPIC minutes from the meeting of July 27th of 2022.
Great. I see no comments. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Great. And the ayes have it. I don't hear any objections. The motion passes. Thank you very much. The next item is item number 3, an informational briefing on a proposal to amend Douglas County's South Shore Area Plan implementing regulations to include religious assemblies as an allowed use in the Kingsbury Commercial Town Center District. So information on this agenda item can be found on page 399 of your packet. As a reminder to the public, after board discussion on this item, you may raise your hand in person to be called on or in Zoom to be unmuted by TRPA staff to share your comments on this item. So I guess now I will pass this to our staff member, Jacob Stock, to introduce the Douglas County staff. And thanks, Jacob. You take over.
Excellent. Good morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. My name is Jacob Stock, Senior Long Range Planner with TRPA. As Chair Yates pointed out, I will be here to tee up an informational presentation from Douglas County on some proposed amendments, or really a proposed amendment to the South Shore Area Plan. This is for informational purposes only. There's no action required at this time, but we look forward to hearing your comments and input on the proposed amendment. So a little background on area plans. Since the 2012 regional plan update, TRPA has encouraged local jurisdictions to develop area plans that replace local planning documents. This allows jurisdictions greater autonomy to define and manage local land use, while also remaining compliant with TRPA regional plan requirements and thresholds. So the South Shore Area Plan was approved in 2013, and it encompasses the south state line area of Douglas County. And so that's from the shoreline of the lake to Pinecrest Drive, and from the California state line to about Burke Creek, where the, if you know where the UPS is, it's right about there. The plan includes two town centers, the Nevada Resort Area Casino Core, that's the casino and resort area, and the Kingsbury Commercial Town Center, that's along Lower Kingsbury, including actually this building right here. The proposed amendment aims to change religious assemblies from a special use to an allowed use in the town center along Lower Kingsbury, and this would eliminate the requirement for hearings officer review of religious assembly buildings, but would maintain, you know, other staff level review and approval for those facilities. You'll be hearing more from Douglas County staff about the need for this amendment, but I'd just like to note that staff believe that this is an important amendment to maintain conformance with federal law. And we can get more into that later if you'd like. A text amendment applying this change to the Douglas County Code was adopted on September 1st of this year. And governing board approval is still required, however, for the amendment to go into effect. TRPA staff have reviewed a draft of the initial environmental assessment and returned comments to Douglas County staff. And we really don't anticipate any conformance issues with the county's proposal based on what we've seen. So based on your comments today, Douglas County will work with us to complete revisions and bring an amendment proposal back to RPIC for a formal hearing, hopefully next month. And if RPIC recommends adoption, we anticipate holding ABC and governing board hearings in February. So with that, I will do a virtual mic pass to Kate Morales O'Neill with, she's the principal planner with Douglas County, and she'll give you some more information on this item.
Good morning. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you all of you for your time today. Kate Morales O'Neill, Douglas County Planning Vision. And I'm sorry, I have been homesick for the last couple days, and I know I look as bad as I feel, so I will be keeping my camera off today for you all. I also have present today Cynthia Gregory, the Douglas County Deputy DA, assisting with this presentation today. So our goal here today, as Jacob mentioned, is to provide you with some background information and staff recommendation to assess and approve a zoning modification in the Tahoe mixed-use zoning. As Jacob did also mention, currently religious assemblies require a special use permit, and we believe that it is imperative that we eliminate the need for a special use permit. In November of 2021, a synagogue located in the Tahoe mixed-use zoning was required to get a special use permit in order to hold their religious assemblies. While staff was processing the application, it became apparent that there were strikingly similarities between the two definitions that you see here of religious assembly and membership organizations. I won't read these to you, but I do want to point out that both promote the interests of its respective group, and both are consistent with the zone's use. Staff also discovered while processing the application that based on the definitions noted here, religious assembly use is entirely consistent with the Tahoe Mixed Use Zoning District, which specifically allows public service use. You can see here what it currently states in code, and I've highlighted those in red, regarding use, and religious assemblies are required to obtain a special use permit, while membership organizations are permitted as an allowed use. In conclusion, and most importantly, approving this amendment would eliminate any perception of discrimination based on the federal law known as RLUIPA, Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act. Staff believes it is imperative we stay consistent with area plan regulations and federal law. That is really all I have for you today. Thank you for your time. And if you have any questions, Cynthia and I will do our best to answer.
Thank you very much. And I appreciate your presentation. I'm sorry about your illness and hope you get well soon. Does anybody have any questions about what Douglas County is addressing? I think it's appropriate. We have any public comments?
Mr. Chair, we have one hand raised online. Steve Teixeira, if you unmute, you can address the committee.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity. This is Steve Teixeira speaking on behalf of the Tahoe Chamber of Commerce. We have followed this item through the Douglas County process, and I know it's informational for you today and not an action item, but we do support the proposed change, not only consistent with TRPA and Douglas County rules as they should be, but also to avoid any thought of a discrimination against a particular religious group. So we support this proposal when it comes back to you for action. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Mr. Chair, there are no other hands raised online to comment on this item.
Okay, I think I will close public comment. And unless there's any further comments from my colleagues, I think I'll just move on to the next item. And that does bring us to agenda item number 4, which I believe we have received a lot of information about, an informational briefing on the proposal to amend Placer County's Tahoe Basin Area Plan to support economic sustainability and local housing. The proposal includes amendments to parts 2.6, 2.7, 3.4, 3.5, 4.3, 4.7, and 8.2 of the Tahoe Basin Area Plan policies in chapters 1, 2, and 3 of the implementing regulations. Information on this agenda item could be found at page 409 of your packet. As a reminder to the public, after board discussion on this item, you may raise your hand in person to be called or in Zoom to be unmuted by TRPA staff to share your comments. Before I pass the staff, I just want to point out to my colleagues as well as to the public that TRPA itself has had a workshop on the issue of, I would say, the crisis in the Tahoe Basin regarding workforce housing. And we had all sorts of boards around the room. We put dots on certain things. We reconvened after this workshop. And I think the governing board made it clear to our staff that we wanted to deal with this issue in a rather aggressive way. And in that regard, I hope people will, when they consider what Placer County is doing, they are really addressing issues that we are having problems with the implementation of a regional plan. We wanted to concentrate development in town centers, and we do want to provide housing necessary for people who work and live in this community. And that's a challenge because of costs, because of some of the rules that we have, and that we're going to have to kind of reevaluate those. So that's the big picture. So I understand that change is an issue. But the reality is that to maintain a sustainable community, we're going to have to at least have an open discussion. Give peace a chance that we might have an open discussion about things that, like, oh, you know, we at North Shore don't want to be like South Shore, or, you know, we like this or we like that. I understand. But still, I find it difficult that when I read a staff report that says that 70% of the homes in the North Lake are vacant, not being used, second homes or our short-term rentals. That's not community members living in that community. And I hear that people come as far away as Nevada City, Grass Valley to work in the Tahoe Basin. And I know they come from Minden and Gardnerville to work on the east side. That's a lot of vehicle miles traveled. On top of that, just hard for families. So I think the time, at least I can say, I'm out of here, so this is my last meeting. But I think that is something that we in the basin and as TRPA, we will deal with. And so that's just my preamble to this, and I will turn this over to John Hester, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to reiterate that this hearing today is just for input. It's not an action item. What will happen is the formal adoption process will happen where Placer County will go back to their planning commission. They've continued this item, and then their board of supervisors. Then it will come back to us through the advisory planning commission, regional, this committee, and the governing board. I'd like to introduce the staff. Placer County has wasted no resources in making sure they can answer every question you have today. So Stephanie Holloway is Deputy CEO for Tahoe. Crystal Jacobson, Deputy Director of Community and Economic Development Resource Agency, if I got that right. And Stacy Wydra and Emily Setzer, from their principal planners on the staff. So just wanted to make sure that you knew about that, that they were here. What we plan to do, could we go to the next slide? What we plan to do, I'll do a quick introduction, and then Placer County staff will go through in a little more detail what's in the plan. Then you all should feel free to ask questions of either staff, predominantly Placer, take comments from the public and make comments so that they have input, and then that will be in the end of it, because again, it's not an action item. Next slide. So Mr. Chairman, you sort of teed this up a little bit for me, but what we have going on here is Placer County doing what we like to talk about as adaptive management. They adopted this plan 5 years ago, and as some of you know, in some states, statutes require you to update plans every 5 years. So they've taken a look at what's happened since the plan was adopted. They'll tell you about a study they did to look at the economy and why things are or are not happening in that part of the basin. What you'll hear from them is why they think they need to make the amendments that they do. Some of the information that they'll talk about is related to the economy and to development rights. So I wanted to give you a little regional context for that, just so you'll know these are not Placer County numbers, these are regional numbers, but so that you'll have some context. So next slide, please. Next slide, please. Oh, there we go. Okay. So I want to start giving you a little bit of what's going on with the regional economy. You can see there 2000 numbers to 2020 numbers. There's a slight difference there because of the on vehicle miles traveled, because the highway performance management system data we have access to for California only goes back to 2001. But what you see is the population in the basin has declined by 11% since 2000. The employment by 11% as well. So, and typically those two stay in sync with each other. And then vehicle miles traveled, 16.9, almost 17%. There's a footnote there that number was in the middle of 2020. So we don't know exactly what the COVID impact was. So we put the earlier number in there, which was a 5.4% decrease. But, you know, the COVID is interesting. Some people we'll recall a lot of folks were supposedly coming here to be Zoomtown, so you would have thought our trips would have been up. But then a lot of people weren't traveling because things were closed down. So we don't really know if that was an indicative number or not. But the point is, traffic in the region, VMT, has decreased. Next slide. People also are concerned about how much development can happen. So we thought we'd give you an update on where we are on our development rights. As you all know, growth and development in the basin is capped. And you can see the numbers there. Also, there is no new development allowed without wastewater systems, centralized wastewater systems. And as you know, we've been directed to look at the concept of stormwater utilities as well as part of the housing initiative. So what you see is that the only type of development right that's been used, and to a small extent, 943 units is residential. You can see that our commercial has declined and our tourist accommodation units have declined. Now, I want to be clear that, and as you all know, you can move from one type of development right to the other. So we may have more residential and less commercial, for example, but the overall cap remains the same. So there is not that much capacity for additional growth in the basin. And as you can see, our economy has not been growing and our population has not been growing. So that's kind of a context I wanted to give you when you hear about Placer County's economic study. Next slide. The last thing I want to point out is we have, as TRPA staff, enjoyed a great partnership with Placer County since they've adopted their area plan and working with them on an ongoing basis. We have regular meetings with them. They have shared their objectives and their study. They've consulted with us and asked for our input every step of the way. And you'll see on page 307, the annual report, local government annual report, is included in our packet, includes the results of the audit. And if I can quote from that report, they've done an excellent job permitting what's been delegated to them through the MOU. So with that context, I will stop and turn it over to Stephanie.
Thanks, John. Good morning, everybody, Chairman, members of the committee, and board members. Stephanie Holloway with Placer County, your Deputy CEO on the North Shore. So I'm really happy and honored to be here and to be asked to help add to what Board Member Yates let us in on, is in really kind of telling this big picture story, connecting the work that Placer's been doing in the region around the regional plan, but also, you know, really helping to kind of move us forward on a number of different initiatives. And so I wanted to just recognize this morning all of you and say happy anniversary. The regional plan, as Julie has informed me, is 10 years old as of this week. So happy anniversary to all of you. It's a great milestone. So as John mentioned, our team works in close partnership with TRPA, really advancing not only just environmental, but economic goals of the region. We truly appreciate the work with staff and feel that we are really stronger together. So we're here united this morning to provide you with this information. So like I said, I want to open with some big picture context on the work that Placer County specifically is doing in the region, and really around policy, implementation of our goals, and also investments within our region. And maybe I'll just stop for a second and get us on the right slide. So, all right, apologize for that. So some, you know, as we kind of achieve and look to advance some of these environmental stewardship goals, economic viability, and community sustainability, you know, the Placer County Board of Supervisors has really been instrumental in making a commitment to Eastern Placer County and to this region around investments. And so next slide. You know, I'll just say historically, since adoption of the 2% transient occupancy tax on lodging in 1996, you know, the amount of public dollars that the Placer County Board has invested in the region, really leveraging state and federal projects and dollars, constructing improvements A lot of those that are identified here from the Tahoe City Transit Center, Kings Beach Commercial Core improvement investments, and then also just a multitude of transit service expansion, our TART systems plan, our recent micro mass transit system, and then you know, numerous segments of our regional transportation trail system and vision. So these projects have really altered the framework in Placer County in the region, but we aren't done yet. So next slide. So our teams are continuing to really push forward on, you know, community supporting service needs. You know, our North Tahoe Justice Center, this is a map of everything that we have, you know, presented to our board and are working on collectively in Placer County in and out of the region. So I'll just mention a few. Our North Tahoe Justice Center is moving forward. We are actively working on upgrades to our libraries and catalyst projects, even one on our Commons Beach property in Tahoe City. So a lot of community supporting projects that aren't just tourism mitigation and environmental, you know, meeting environmental goals, but really looking to sustain our communities and provide support services. So we're also striving forward on a number of other key issues in our region. Forest management, these are all key things that you all are focused on as well. Forest management, transportation, and of course, workforce housing. So you'll hear today on how, you know, investment in our town centers and our communities help us achieve and move those regional goals forward. So, but I think the thing that I want to highlight today is that Placer County isn't waiting for redevelopment to push forward on achieving those things. So next slide. So just to talk a little bit about our transportation and mobility services, we continue to grow and expand these services, including, like I mentioned, our most recent success with the Micro Mass Transit, our TART Connect program. We're also actively engaged and hopeful to deploy a parking management program. We're actively working with staff at TTD and TRPA to really advance that within the region, hoping that it is a lead out for more parking solutions in the region. And as I mentioned, regional trails are infrastructure to facilitate transit and transit expansion and those goals, and then our complete streets projects, and I'll talk a little bit about Fanny Bridge, but really high priority for Placer. We are continuing to really push forward. So next slide. And I'll just mention here, I couldn't come today and not tout the regional transportation plan and then the resort triangle transportation plan here in Placer County as well. So a lot of projects there on that map that we are actively working on. Next slide. And I'll mention, you know, alternative transportation, vehicle trip reduction and safety really round out what the state of California and Placer County is pushing on VMT reduction and VMT goals, all aligned with longstanding practices and goals of TRPA in the region. So as you're aware, Placer County has transitioned from a traffic mitigation fee program to a VMT-based transportation fee. Really following and coordinating with the VMT threshold effort at both your TRPA board and as well as the Placer County board a number of years ago. And so we're, you know, like I said, we're looking to transition away from just addressing traffic, but also, you know, providing services that reduce VMT within the region. So the mobility fee, our transportation fee, like I said, is very much closely aligned to move us forward on VMT reduction. Next slide. And just to mention again, Fanny Bridge, you know, this is a very active and important project to Placer County from a transportation perspective, and our partnership working right alongside TTD, Central Federal Lands, and Placer County. We really are excited to advance this project, hopefully early next fall to completion. Next slide. And then I couldn't come today without elevating workforce housing, as Board Member Yates let us in on. So just to speak again about our continued commitment to the community, highlighting here, you know, workforce housing, another area that we're really advancing, even parallel or in front of private investment. So our board has facilitated close to $18 million to advance construction of nearly 300 units in the Placer County region. So next slide. And with that, there's more. The Dollar Creek project, just to mention another tangible project for you. We are really working to push this project forward, potentially 150 additional rental and workforce housing availability in the basin, which is really important for us to advance this project on the North Shore. So with that said, I'm here today not only just to highlight the amazing work that our team is doing, but to impress upon all of you that our capacity as a public entity with public dollars has a limit. We are really striving, I think, in what you're here today to form public-private partnerships to really bring in the private piece of this equation that helps us advance these regional goals. So, you know, these projects and programs and initiatives really that we have put forward get better and expand with the private investment. And so, you know, our work only goes so far. And so we're here to really highlight the importance, like I said, of that other piece of the equation. And I'm going to hand this over to Crystal with that thought. She's going to give you a few words, and then we'll get into the details of the amendments. So thanks for having me, and Crystal.
Thank you very much. And just before Crystal steps up, I think for the sake of committee members and the government operations, as we're probably not going to get finished here until about 10:30. This is important, and I don't want to cut people off because I know there's a lot of comment that'll come, but I'm looking at the time right now. And also just, I know, Plasser, you have a lot to say, but I'm asking if you can kind of hit the high points here, because I think overall it's great, but need to, if we can, speed things up. Thank you very much.
For sure. Thank you. Crystal Jacobson with the Tahoe Cedar office for Plasser, and good morning and happy to be here. So if we could go on to the next slide, I just want to touch on kind of the why behind the amendments before your board today. And then also just talk a little bit about the cost of doing nothing. So the reason we're bringing these amendments before your board are really in response to the lack of private redevelopment and reinvestment that we've seen in our town centers. So the TBAP, as you know, was adopted in 2017. It was really intended to implement the regional plan with a vision of accelerating environmentally beneficial redevelopment in our town centers. And we see this as a high priority. As Stephanie noted, you know, the county has made huge strides in investing and pouring public dollars into implementation of the regional plan and meeting regional goals. However, we have not seen that same kind of investment in implementation of the regional plan in the town center. So we have not seen that private reinvestment and redevelopment. We do have a lot of projects in the hopper. However, each has met struggles along the way. And so we've met with those folks over the course of several years to figure out the why behind, you know, why are they having struggles? Why aren't they moving forward? We do believe we have a responsibility to ask that why question and kind of make adjustments along the way. So the cost of doing nothing really is a continued decline of the old development that we see in our town centers. In some cases, we see blight in our town centers. And so with that comes increased runoff into the lake with no BMPs coming forward on those private lots. Also, without quality lodging options in our town centers, we see more SDRs moving into our neighborhoods. We've seen that over the last 5-10 years. Also, with the lack of housing, you know, there's more congestion on the roadways with our workers traveling in. As Chairman Yates mentioned earlier, we've got folks coming in from all over, you know, really the Sacramento region coming up to, you know, work for Placer County. And so we know that's happening with other employers in the region as well. And then the town centers really just lack that vibrancy and walkability that we'd like to see happen in our town centers and to help meet regional plan goals. So our CEO office prepared an economic study back in, I think it was 2019, to kind of better understand the problems that we're having and why we're not seeing that reinvestment. And that study provided a set of recommended actions that our county could take to address the issue. One of them was to look at the TBAP document, both policy and the implementing regulations, which really serves as our zoning code, to see if we can make some refinements and slight adjustments to help move these projects forward to get that kind of environmentally beneficial redevelopment that we'd like to see and that reinvestment. So the idea is to help business owners and private landowners to redevelop and hopefully move the needle on realizing that reinvestment. And again, implementing the regional plan, because we could only go so far, as Stephanie said. So the intent is really to try to move the needle on the private side. Next slide, please. I do want to point out, and if you could just keep clicking, these are some excerpts from the regional plan. I just want to talk about that the amendments are really intended to harness that kind of redevelopment, which we believe is aligned with a regional plan. So this just sort of goes to show and underscore that alignment. You may hear some concern today from folks that the amendments are really wholesale changes or that we're increasing density. I do want to stress that we are not proposing to modify any density standards. So that's not a part of this package. So we're not proposing any increase in units per acre. These are really small, as we see it, refinements to different standards and design and development standards to help, again, move those projects forward. I do want to state again, we feel we do have that responsibility to respond to the lack of reinvestment. We believe we have a responsibility to implement your regional plan. So we, again, we're doing that as part of a local government, but we'd also like to see that same thing come forward on the private lots in our town centers. So that's really why we're here today. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Emily and Stacy to walk you through the amendments, and then I'll come in at the end and close. Thank you.
Hi, Emily Setzer, Principal Planner with Placer County. Next slide, please. Oh, that's perfect. I'm going to talk a little bit about what our amendments attempt to accomplish. So we're really trying to target that environmentally beneficial redevelopment. Right now we have aging, dilapidated town centers. We have a lack of quality lodging. We haven't had one new hotel product since the 60s in North Lake Tahoe. We have a lack of housing for local workers. I know John Hester spoke to the decreasing population basin-wide. In North Lake Tahoe for Placer County, we've lost 2,000 residents since 2000. So we just keep losing our full-time residents. We have a lot of vacant commercial spaces. I know our North Tahoe Business Association documented 30 commercial vacant spaces in Kings Beach downtown alone, which is pretty small if you've been up there. And we've seen businesses relocating elsewhere to places like Truckee or Reno or Carson. So what we're trying to get, if you could click through a few, thank you. We're trying to get this diverse business sector and new lodging products in our town centers. We're trying to get new workforce housing, and we are trying to support a year-round economy, not necessarily to induce growth, but to have enough full-time residents to support our mom and pop businesses. We've heard from them that they're having a hard time just staying open year-round without the full-time residents. With this redevelopment, we are expecting BMPs, those best management practices, to do things like decrease runoff into the lake, shift our lodging from short-term rentals into lodging into our town centers, have more vibrancy, walkability, your typical mountain town when people think of a mountain town. Right now, ours aren't always meeting those expectations. We are hoping to reduce congestion and vehicle miles traveled, allow people to live closer to their jobs, and really have that steady customer base for businesses. Next slide, please. Like Crystal said, we are not increasing density. I will say that we are working closely, our staff, with the TRPA staff and the Tahoe Living Working Group, which is the regional collaboration, to analyze things with TRPA for the entire basin. So things like density or coverage and things like that to really facilitate housing. We're not doing that necessarily with these amendments today. We're not trying to increase carrying capacity. Like John Hester mentioned, we are limited in our amount of development rights, like tourist accommodation units, residential units of use, commercial floor area, things like that. So the building form doesn't necessarily change how much of that we still have to give out. We're not increasing building height for all buildings across our entire downtown. And we are not conflicting with TRPA scenic or environmental thresholds. Those scenic thresholds are really strict and they're there for a reason. And we coordinate our projects alongside TRPA to make sure our applicants understand those thresholds. And we are not eliminating project review for large projects. So where Stacy may talk about things that are allowed by right with these amendments, those are really strategic infill, small scale projects or businesses. Any large project is still going to have to go through its environmental review. Next slide, please. So on the topic of those large projects, Any project that would, for example, be trying to request a height increase, if those do get carried through these amendments, would still require a land use permit. We would still have the public process, many hearing bodies between Placer County and TRPA. It would require design review, environmental review, so not only California side, but TRPA's. And they would be required to look at things like emergency evacuation plans and those TRPA scenic standard thresholds. Next slide, please. So I just want to really stress that the amendments we are bringing forward today are a result of years of feedback, of things we have heard from the community. The community has been telling us that these are problems, these are complaints, these are our businesses are leaving us, our residents are leaving us. We had that EPS study that done for the original area plan documented that we have a need in North Lake Tahoe of 300 to 500 new hotels or new hotel units, and we haven't had any. So these are really in response to customers coming to us, community members, feedback from the business associations. This is all, this whole package of amendments is in response to community feedback directly. Next slide, please. So just to go over the public engagement we've done to date, we've been on a little bit of a roadshow here. We've gone to the Planning Commission in September and recently in December. We have gone to our North Tahoe Regional Advisory Council three times between October and November. We've gone to our business associations, so our North Lake Tahoe Resort Association, our North Tahoe Business Association, and our Tahoe City Downtown Association. We've had multiple stakeholder meetings with various groups and pretty much anybody in the community who wants to meet with us. We're willing to talk to them and walk them through our amendments. Business owners, developers, community members, environmental groups. So we are continuing to do this. Public engagement is very strong to us and important, and we will continue to do so as we go through this process. Next slide, please. So now I will hand it over to Stacy to walk you through the details of the policy and the zoning changes. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. Good morning, everyone. I'm happy to be here. Next slide, please. My bad. So I'm going to quickly go through the actual amendments that we are proposing and just sort of summarize them, so hit the high points of them. As mentioned in our presentation, there are two documents that guide the Tahoe Basin and Placer County, and the policy document, which contains the goals and policies. And so within our policy amendment, we are proposing some changes and or additions to these following topics. So including but not limited to our town centers, land use, vegetation, and housing. Next slide, please. And then I'm going to move into the actual implementing regulations. So this is the supporting document that helps achieve those goals and policies of the area plan. Next slide, please. So specifically, I'm going to move into our town centers. Next slide. And so in our town centers, we have land use tables that govern what type of land uses are allowed and what kind of process they have to go through. And so we looked at some of those land uses, and we are proposing to streamline those by their use and or square footage, provided that they continue to meet the thresholds of the vehicle's miles traveled, so VMTs. It's important to note that projects that may be allowed by the size or the use but do not meet the VMT are still required to go through an environmental process and or the permitting process. So these are just, again, like Emily mentioned, to kind of get some of our mom and pops in and fill these vacancies that we have in our town centers. Also, we looked at allowing food trucks and mobile vendors in all of our mixed use land uses. And then also not allow for new real estate and or property management offices along the frontages of our North Lake Boulevard or Highway 28. Essentially, this is to encourage different type of uses along the frontages, but those types of uses can be allowed on the second floor, sides, or the rear. Next slide, please. And then also for hotels, motels, and transient dwelling units, we also see a need for these to be encouraged in our town centers. And so if units If a proposal comes in with 20 units or less, could be considered as an allowed use. Again, provided that it meets all the thresholds. If it does not, it will still go through a public process, a process through the county, which may or may not involve environmental review as well. And then for new single family development, which consists of over one unit, could be allowed if its use is 20, if the single family use is 25% or less of the entire project, and or at least 50% of the single family units are de-restricted to TRPA's affordable levels. And then looking at all the other housing, we would consider them to be allowed in our town centers if 100% of the units are deed restricted, again, to those affordable levels as defined by TRPA. Next. So then also staying in our town centers, we looked at our building lengths, and we added a building length maximum to our Tahoe City town centers, where there otherwise was not one listed. So kind of to keep Kings Beach and Tahoe City kind of in line or in alignment with each other. And then we also looked at the compatibility with residential zone districts. And we have recommended a maximum of 75 feet of a building length on parcels that are directly facing residential zone districts. So again, this is just to ensure some compatibility. And then also are proposing to decrease the building length from 350 feet to 250 feet for our state line zoning district, which consists of mixed use tourists. Next slide. And then furthermore, with our building lengths, we are proposing a mountainside building length. So those properties that are not on the lakeside could be considered up to 500 feet in building length in our town centers, provided it's a mixed use project and that it provides all of these following. So it complies with both the county's design standards as well as TRPA scenic standards and requirements. It includes some separations in that length. This is really to also help achieve some sort of outdoor spaces, so plaza areas or outdoor eating and drinking spaces. And then it also includes 15% of deed-restricted housing and public art. And then similarly, on the lakeside, we're considering building lengths up to 250 feet, again, for mixed-use projects, provided that at least they provide 50% of building of the building comprises housing that is 100% deed restricted. Next slide. And then also still in our town centers, we're looking at building height, and we are keeping the same building height that's listed in our code today at 56 feet, but we are eliminating the reference to the stories. We found that sometimes that was causing some confusion for some developers, so we're just sticking with the feet. And then we also are considering an additional 5-foot building height, so up to 61 feet max, for town center mixed use projects that include all of the following. So again, a mixed use project only that is fronting 28, has 50 or more hotel units, deed restricted housing, public art, and then again complies with both design and scenic standards. And then we're also considering an additional 11 feet in height, so up to 72 foot building maximum, again, for mixed-use projects in our town centers, provided that they meet the criteria I just mentioned. But this would only be for, like, rooftop appurtenances, so a rooftop deck, as you can see here in this picture, and or elevator shafts or chimneys and so forth. Next slide, please. Now I'm going to move on to housing amendments. Oh, thank you. So we looked at our residential development standards for all of our residential zone districts, and we are proposing to eliminate the minimum lot area per dwelling unit. This is really just to refine the usage of setbacks and coverage instead. Also reduce the minimum lot size to match our existing development. Reduce the minimum lot width to further encourage these smaller type housing units, and which results in a more affordable type of residential units. So uniquely in our area plan, we have these listed residential districts that contain a special designation, which is the preferred affordable, moderate, and achievable housing areas. And so we really looked at those development standards to really understand what is prohibiting these types of residential development in our residential zone districts. And so similar to what I mentioned for the other zone districts for residential, we also furthered those with these preferred areas, and we're proposing to match the minimum lot size to the existing density maximums. They were inconsistent at the time. Reduce the minimum lot width to match, again, existing conditions. Deleted the minimum lot area, and then allow for 0-foot setbacks to accommodate duplexes. So basically, this is that shared property line could have a 0-foot setback without having to go through a variance, and then 10 feet on the opposite sides. And then for the remaining balance of our residential uses, so multifamily, multi-person, employee, we are recognizing those as allowed uses. So removing that use permit process if those units are proposed at 100% deed restricted. Next slide, please. So now I'm going to move into our area-wide standards and guidelines. And so we looked at parking, and we are proposing an amendment to the plan, which would allow for a waiver with offset to mobility programs. This does, however, exclude lodging units uses, so it does not apply to lodging. We are modifying parking requirements for residential uses. And then in our town center parking areas, considering that no parking minimums be required for additions of existing buildings for up to 1,000 square feet, and then also really encourage parking management programs. We see this as a potential to reduce parking, also provide for some shared uses of those parking areas, but then also increase flexibility. And then we also are proposing to allow for below grade parking through interception of groundwater, again, just in our town centers. This could help achieve reducing coverage for these types of developments. And then we also would be aligned with TRPA's allowances for groundwater interception. Next slide. And then, of course, there's always miscellaneous amendments. And so we're adding the movable tiny houses to align with our adopted ordinance as well as South Lake Tahoe's. The sign chapter, we are just proposing to eliminate the sign regulations within the area plan, but rather we are going to rely on TRPA's sign ordinance. TRPA will continue to review sign permits in accordance with our MOU. So really, it's just to ensure that we are consistent with TRPA sign regulations. And then we've added streetscape and roadway design characteristics. Really, this is just to inform the reader of all of the sections of the area plan that this type of development might be required of them. And then that moves into frontage improvements. And we are proposing amendment to include single family residences to also be required to provide frontage improvements. And then shore zone requirements. We recently adopted a Lake Tahoe shore zone for the county in this area. And so again, to align with TRPA shore zone requirements, we've added just some amendments to notify the reader that, say, for example, a fence is proposed in a shore zone. Not only do they have to go through TRPA, but they also have to go through the county for that structure that's proposed. And then of course, miscellaneous cleanups and typos. Next slide. And then the proposed amendments are subject to the requirements of both CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, as well as TRPA's initial environmental checklist, and of which we are proceeding through both of those currently. So now I will just turn it over to Crystal to do a short closure. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Stacey. So real quick, in terms of outreach, we have had a lot of public engagement opportunities and touch points to date, but there's a lot more to come. So in terms of next steps, our staff will continue to meet with stakeholders, community members, and you know, business owners, environmental groups, and the like, and also reviewing the public comments that we've received to date. And then we're going to start to begin the public hearing process again. So go to our planning commission, our board, and then back before TRPA, board meetings, excuse me. Next slide. And so in closing, I just want to note that we have heard concerns from the community and stakeholders over the last few months, but in particular, the last several weeks. I would like you to know that the county is committed in finding solutions which move us forward as a region, while also being sensitive to the comments that we've received and community concerns. So we continue to be flexible and open to the feedback of your committee, and continue to be flexible to the feedback that we receive from the community as well. So with that, we're here today to introduce these amendments, engage with you on the questions, and take part in ongoing feedback. So happy to answer questions at this point, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, all of you. It's very comprehensive. So now it's, I leave it to my colleagues to have a question, but I think first of all, I'll turn it over to Cindy.
Thank you, Bill. And thank you, staff. I thought, I appreciate that every time you have had the opportunity to present in public, the presentation has been more clarified and responded to some of the public misconceptions and or opinions that we've been hearing. I really appreciate as representing this area now, how much passion and commitment there is from our community about preserving the lake, about preserving our community identities, as well as trying to improve those. So I'll have more to say later, but I wanted to thank staff for that and recognize that we have a lot of public engagement on this. We need to have continue to have more, and they are doing that. And we are trying to respond to those and really think about, is there another way to find the solution? Because it's easy to say, not this one, then what? And so I'm open and continue to be open to hear those ideas. And I know our board and our planning commission feel the same way. So thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. I think, colleagues, I think what I'll do is I'll just go down the list and see if you've got questions at this point before I move on to public comment. So Shelley, do you have any?
Just a couple. that was a fine presentation. Thank you. I appreciate all the information that was provided. And obviously there is a bit of a, I think, a disconnect having reviewed all the letters that were received, and there were some pretty serious misconceptions. And I appreciate the clarity that you brought to the conversation. I do have a couple of questions and comments. You know, in the past, when we were dealing with workforce housing issues, we've always kind of, you know, mold over the possibility of including large employers to take some action on their own to provide housing for their employees. And I understand that North Star has done that. And I commend them for doing that because it is in part a problem that they have kind of inadvertently created. Obviously, they're essential to the community, but they do act as a bit of a attractant to people wanting to come and work in the basin. So that's one question. I mean, what sort of outreach have we had in Placer County to large employers to help help us deal with a lack of workforce housing by taking some initiative on their own? That's one question. The other one that is a lingering concern for me, and there may not be any way of effectively dealing with this, is how you can guarantee that these affordable units will be used to accommodate the local workforce population. I mean, if I were somebody who is retired and you know, needing a subsidy, you know, to live, I'd love to come to the Tahoe Basin and call it my home. But that's not the intent of these amendments. The intent of the amendments is to improve the circumstances of people who are already in the basin, who are working and helping to provide services. So I don't know that there's any way around this. I don't know if state statutes in California prohibit that sort of preferential treatment of workforce or workforce population. In connection with the affordable housing units in South Lake Tahoe, one of the things that they committed to do, or what maybe they haven't committed to do it, but I encourage them, excuse me, is to actually reach out to major employers and minor employers and encourage them to encourage their workers who may be living in substandard units or who may be commuting in from outside of the basin to put them on a waiting list. I mean, there have to be some creative ways of ensuring that these units are not going to be consumed by people who are not working in the basin. And that, of course, does not apply to people who are working in the basin and then decide to retire. Obviously, you know, you can't evict them because they're no longer employed in the basin. But that is a concern I have, that these are going to be used for the wrong purpose. And then there was some reference in, there was a lot of material I reviewed yesterday, but to eliminating all parking for multifamily dwellings. And I think that is extremely unrealistic. That would force people, the users of those units, to either sell their automobiles or find alternate parking solutions, which would mean they'd be pushed into adjacent commercial lots or into residential neighborhoods. So if you could address that for me, I would appreciate it. The mobile vendors, you know, I know food trucks have become very popular. They do create VMT, however, which is kind of ironic. But I also am concerned about the competition they're going to be offered unless they are prevented, for example, from parking in front of a brick and mortar restaurant and competing with that restaurant, I think you're shooting yourself in the foot. In other words, instead of aiding your existing businesses, you're actually encouraging competition immediately in front of their establishment. So to the extent that you can restrict the movement or the parking of those vehicles next to existing restaurants, I would encourage you to do that. Obviously, having a brick and mortar restaurant has a lot of downside in terms of operating overhead. And then I'm just, if you could maybe elaborate, a number of people who provided us with comments, we're kind of contrasting the process you've gone through with the regional plan update and the number of members of the community who actively participated as stakeholders in these work groups, not just in the audience, but actually at the table, reviewing these recommended changes and providing input. I mean, it's a lot more collaborative, it's a lot more inclusive. And I was wondering if going forward, and maybe it's too late in the process, if you could invite some actively involved community members who are coming to the table, you know, not to criticize everything that you've done and everything that you're proposing, but to actually offer reasonable solutions or reasonable accommodations for some of the concerns that have been expressed publicly. And I know I provided you a lot of questions. I'm sorry, but if somebody is taking hopefully some copious notes. I think it's Stephanie, so that she can respond publicly to these concerns. Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley. And you having done that just reminds me again of this limitation of time here. So if you hear these questions, I don't expect you to respond to them today. But certainly you may take into consideration what we have to say and then respond either in some other fashion or whenever you come back to our pick. The next one on my list would be Jessica.
I don't have any questions. Sorry.
Thank you. And Cindy?
Yeah, I do have a couple quick questions, and I'll read these quickly. I think clarification on TRPA's affordability standards for the requirements should be clarified because not everybody, and certainly not everybody in the public, understands those. And I've been quite close to them, but I think we should outline that. And specifically on the height, you suggested only on Highway 28. There is some town center just outside of Tahoe City, affectionately known as the Williamson Yard, the Quarry Pit. That is an area that many people have looked at for potential affordable housing in the future, and that's fronting 89. So I'm just wondering if decisions on height there might be considered or if it shouldn't be considered. That area, as well as the lumber yard, were included in the town center for massive, getting out of the river, but looking at that area. But I think specifically the quarry side. And then you reference housing amendments for the Lake Forest Glen sub-district. And I'm assuming you mean Lake Forest sub-district, but if you mean just specifically the Glen complex, or if you mean the whole Lake Forest area, which I live near and in and would support. So just as one for multi-housing, it used to be our biggest area of local housing. That's why I'm there. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Alexis, do you have a question, comment?
I have just a few comments and one question that doesn't obviously need to be answered today, but I just really applaud the team and Supervisor Gustafson for looking at these best practices. I've been reading a lot about planning lately, and I think ensuring that it's easier to develop multifamily is going to be the key to this, and really looking at the reason that we have such a proliferation of STRs is because we don't have lodging, sufficient lodging. And that also is an issue in my district. So something that we hope to tackle. But on the food trucks, I think our coworker, Ms. Aldean, brought up really good points about distance from existing businesses, creating an area for them, or even just creating a special event permit every time that they want to be in certain areas. That's what another jurisdiction has done, and it's worked out very well. And then as far as mixed use, just ensuring that if there's any changes to that, that it's we're continuing to make it meaningful. If there's mixed use development, that we actually have enough commercial that a real business could go there. So those are my two comments. And I just applaud the team and look forward to Placer County working with the community to ensure that these can be palatable moving forward. And I know that you've done a great job with so many other projects. So I know you'll continue to ensure that the community is involved. So thank you.
Thank you. Vince.
Hello. Hi. Thank you so much for the presentation and for all the work you're doing. I know as a planner and developer, it's incredibly hard to get out in front of the public and try to make changes to anything that that impacts development. And I know that you guys face a lot of impassioned, angry resistance to anything that you try to change. I want to make sure that you guys know, because I believe our board is on board, that this board has the opposite the opposite side of that argument. Even though we're not there, we're going to be, I think, pushing you. And you have our support and encouragement, and actually probably we're going to require it or request it to go farther. And we all know that the people who come and complain are really the vocal minority, the silent majority, who support a lot of the changes to protect the lake, increase affordability in our housing, and help revitalize our communities. Those people just don't tend to show up at meetings. So I want to encourage us to go really bold, because I think a lot of these changes are great, but I don't think they're going to move the needle. And in fact, in some ways, I'm worried that they're setting us back as they currently are. You've done a lot to increase flexibility and reduce some costs for buildings, which is great. The big one that I worry about is, you know, we haven't had any multifamily in our core since I've been coming up here for 25 years, I think, that I know of, really. And that's at market rate. And now we're adding this requirement, which is a great one, for 50% affordable or achievable. I mean, I would like to see it be 100%, but we have to understand what that cost is and then how to make it so it's profitable. Because if development were profitable now, we would see development in our cities, and we've just made it even less profitable. So we've made it lose even more money. So it's going to happen. I mean, it can't happen less than zero, but it's not going to happen. So I think we need to, you know, in the future, when we're working TRPA and Placer County together, we need to really look at what the incentives are that will move the needle so that we can require that housing to be some percentage achievable. And you have to go out and you can't, like, 50% is great to say, but it's meaningless. You have to actually do studies to figure out what is economically feasible for someone to provide. And that changes with different economic cycles. In San Francisco, we reevaluate our inclusionary percent, I think, every other year. It was randomly set by a supervisor to 33%, and all housing production stopped since. And so this year it's going to be reevaluated. It's probably going to be really knocked down, or hopefully. So I think we have to put that kind of process in place. Let's see. So the affordability requirements. So we're going to have to give something to make that achievable. Height, density, coverage, all those things that we're going to be looking at. I think, you know, you have added some height, which is good. I think 15 feet, you know, you need that extra 5 feet for mixed use, because you want your commercial lids to be 15 feet. It's just much nicer than having really low commercial and then at least 10 feet for each floor. The most efficient buildings, as you know, to build are five-story right now, probably, you know, one concrete, four wood over it. And if we want to get the most affordable, we got to find the most efficient building types. So that's probably the type that we should be really looking at, I would think. Density and parking. Parking for most developers is what sets the density of a project because parking is a huge geometry problem and space problem and cost problem. So I believe in being much more flexible with parking and letting the developers set the amount that they want for development. If they've got to make money on it, they've got to understand their market. You know that there are some people who won't have a car if they live and work in an area, while some people will need it. And they've got to make those decisions. I also think instead of density, we should be looking at floor area ratio. So you set the bulk of the building and then you let the developer figure out what units they want to put in. If typically, I mean, right now we have density and we get projects like the Latitude project that's going to be coming up where they're building three and four bedroom units, huge units that are only going to be used for short-term rentals. If it's an FAR driven and there's not a huge parking requirement, it's more profitable for a developer to build smaller units, a lot of them. You get more money per square foot. So that would tend to create more affordable housing for us of a certain type of, you know, from a couple or singles or something. So you'd have to look at also if you want to require some percentage to be larger for families. Let's see. And then also I think we need to work on really creating projects that are by right development going forward, because the uncertainty with having to go through these public processes is so huge and the time that it takes is so costly that we could use that. Both those things have a huge cost to the developer that we could, if we didn't have them, we could take for something else like more affordability or more public benefits. So the more we can make by right, the more we can squeeze out of developers. So I say that as a developer. So, so those are my comments. I know we're going to be working together, TRPA, with you guys to come up with the next iteration. But those are the things that I'm really looking at. I think we really need to go big to move the needle on this and make to actually get some reinvestment in our communities and some affordable housing built. So I hope we'll be bold, and I believe this board will be behind bold moves and have your back so that you can push for it too, because there will be a lot of people who come out against anything. So those are my comments and issues. So thank you for all your work.
Thank you, Vince. Jim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was actually gonna wait till after public comment, but I think in this time, I'll just do my comments now to get them on the record and keep things moving. Really appreciate the presentation and the thought that went behind it. I especially really appreciate your comments about adaptive management. I know that public agencies these days barely have enough funding just to keep the doors open and do what's right in front of you, much less be proactive and look at these things, and really highly commend you for doing that. It's really important. A lot of my comments have been said, but I'll just touch on them briefly. Along the lines of adaptive management, I understand that a lot of this is to move the needle on workforce housing. I think the presentation was really good regarding the why and the what the amendments do, but I think there will be some questions on, and kind of Shelley went down this path as well. You know, how do we ensure that these changes are going to actually effectuate affordable housing? And I think maybe a little more information on, okay, here's the amendments and this is how it will move the needle, I think would be helpful. Same thing along the lines with lodging. I do think, you know, there, there are a lot, you know, I've heard this many times, there's a lot of lodging units in the basin, but not the right types of lodging units. So, you know, in my opinion, and, you know, in my circle of friends and family, what's missing up here is sort of the middle income type of lodging, not necessarily the high end or kind of lower end, but just something in between. So, you know, how is that going to maybe move the needle if we're doing lodging in Placer County or more lodging? You know, how is it going to be more of the kind of your average lodging type of situation? I did have questions regarding parking standards. I agree. I know that, you know, a lot of the studies are showing that minimal parking requirements just don't work. It really doesn't move the needle in a big way. I think more information, though, on how you're going to do parking for multi-housing. And, you know, I think I heard Jelly say that there just won't be any parking requirements. I just, you know, maybe not a minimum two spots per unit, but a little bit of guidance, you know, kind of what you're thinking about parking. Because the reality is it sounds good on paper, but really what happens is people will still bring cars up and they're just going to park in the neighborhoods. So a little more information along those lines. And then I did have the same questions about food trucks. You know, how does that impact VMTs? You know, how is that going to impact, you know, where are they going to go? How's that going to impact traffic congestion, particularly during peak summer months and all that? So briefly, those are my comments, but thank you for the presentation. And again, I just really appreciate folks that are proactive and do adaptive management. It's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you all. I think what I'll do at this point is open it up to public comment for a call on any members of the public in person first, and then I'll turn and speak into the our microphone up at the top, and then after that I'll go to the virtual public comments. So Ellie, I see you step right up. So
thank you. Ellie Waller, I was a longtime Tahoe Vista resident, participated for several years on the North Tahoe West area plan team. Change is welcome. It's the approach to keeping some of the community character and the scenic intact. We don't have a blank slate. We have mom and pop businesses that are going to get dwarfed by some of these heights that should be taken into consideration. Under CEQA, projects are to create and maintain conditions under which man and nature can exist in productive harmony to fulfill the social and economic requirements of the present and future generations. The intensity of some of the requested changes should require an EIR. Height and scenic specifically need more analysis. I'll briefly touch on vacation home rental. There is 3,900 that I know of as reported in Placer County. You can't stop that train. It is a public-private right to own a vacation home rental. The rules need to be changed. I'm on the Douglas County meeting line. In fact, I'm going there today. If you cap them, you can do them over grandfathering. If you took 3,900 times an average of four people, that's 10,000 people. There's your 2,000 loss in people that live there. It's just a risk choice as an investment. Definition of density, it's a conundrum. With that said, localized densities are increasing. That's where some of the confusion is, putting multifamily where it needs to go, because we do need it, into a primarily single family zone area is increased density in a local area. So you need to take in consideration those people that are commenting on that. You hear staff say time and again, there are no new hotels in 50 years. Well, staff continues to approve the luxury condo portion of these larger projects instead of conditioning the project to build the hotel component in phase one. Same could be said for the workforce housing. Build it in phase one. It's very frustrating because some of these projects are sold on those motels. Financial feasibility, a conundrum. Building supply cost and availability, interest rate changes. TRPA's restrictive scenic ordinance. It's not an excuse. If you can't build some of the sizes of these projects, make them a little longer or smaller, excuse me. There are many new California land use laws in 2023 coupled with adequate and accurate environmental analysis that must be done. Developers have had an ample time to work with Placer County over the last couple of years. I asked Placer to reach out and engage some of the long-term land use planners, the small developers, the community members that were part of the original area plan teams. I will close with that. I do my work. I wear the badge of vocal minority. I do attend, I do my homework, and I do not take offense to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellie.
My name is Elizabeth Lernhardt. Thank you for being able to speak here. My comment is not for the Placer County project, it's for the regarding the CMP I-50 East Shore Lane Reduction Study. As a stakeholder, I live in Sephora Cove. I have a great reservation about NDOT's integrity.
You may be able to bring up this matter at the end of our meeting. It's kind of off the agenda.
It is.
Well, then right now we have to be focused on Placer County's amendments to their TBAD. And so if you wait till the end of our committee, we'll have an open public.
Okay. Thank you. I will address you then.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jackson Riallo. I work as a land use planner here for a small land use planning firm based out of South Lake Tahoe. I'm here to speak in broad support of this TBAP code amendment package, namely for the reasons that Placer County staff have done such a good job presenting. The TBAP was originally written and adopted to align Placer County's goals with the regional plan goals. As we've heard, those were primarily focused around environmentally beneficial redevelopment efforts, concentrating development in town centers, which have the benefits of increased non-auto means of travel, development on less sensitive parcels, as well as a vibrant, active kind of town center feel for both residents and visitors alike. As we know, the TBAP has not accomplished that, unfortunately. So what I would like to kind of speak to is how I see these code amendment, this code amendment package kind of improving those conditions to actually achieve what the TBAP was set out to do. As we all know, and as we've heard from both everyone on this committee, as well as Placer County staff and the public in the numerous kind of public hearings, housing is our number one issue. It's very difficult. As a land use planner, I'll just speak to the development side of things. It's very difficult to develop affordable housing or achievable housing without any type of kind of government financing or incentives today. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't pencil. So we need to develop some type of incentive structure to create this reality. I personally believe that this code amendment package does that. I am in broad support of all of the amendments that, you know, we've heard public comment in opposition to regards to height, building length. All of these things are incentives to give to achieve affordable housing. In addition, as we've also heard, the lack of lodging and incentives is pushing visitors to STRs in residential areas. As someone who lives and works in South Lake Tahoe, I know that obviously South Lake is not in Placer County, but you know we're experiencing this problem all over the basin. I moved here 3 years ago. I'd like to make this my home long-term, but property values are incredibly high and I don't have a chance of purchasing any property for myself anytime in the near future. Even rental rates are ridiculously high. So basically, I just wanted to say that I'm in broad support of these amendments. I think they do a great job of addressing barriers that currently exist in the TBAP implementing regulations for development of affordable housing. And then the last thing I just want to make a comment about before my time is up is all of the kind of concerns that we've heard, while I understand where they're coming from, there are extensive safeguards in place, as we've heard from Placer County staff. They have to go through environmental review processes. They have to go through all of these public hearing processes, again, on a project-specific basis. They have to meet the incredibly stringent TRPA scenic standards, et cetera, et cetera. So thank you for your time, and I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming.
Hey, good morning, RPIC Chair Terry Yates. Last time to be able to say that, I guess, for but thanks for your time on the committee. And thanks to Placer County for all the work. We've had been in a lot of discussions with them around these amendments. So a lot of things we like. Sorry, Gavin Feiger on behalf of League to Save Lake Tahoe. There's a lot of things we like in the amendments. The RPU allocation. So Placer has a limited amount of growth under the regional plan. We'd like to see that growth go into town centers and village centers, which is what these amendments do. Very much in favor of that. Really like the deed restricted housing requirements and mixed use requirements in some cases in town centers. Really like the parking policies. We're looking for places for people, not cars. I'll leave it at that. And this guide for the allocation and conversion of development rights is something we're very interested in and see how that goes. So ongoing conversations with the county on that. A couple things that are missing, an update on mitigation measures and goals and policies since the TVAP was adopted in 2017. And I know the county is working on that. So I'm looking forward to seeing those as a kind of extra justification for these amendments. And some visuals would be really helpful, like showing what some different height scenarios would look like, which getting onto a few of our concerns, one of those is height. It does seem pretty extreme to go up to 72 feet. There's a lot of opportunity with transition zones, with different type of land uses and conditions being required to achieve that height. So planning on discussing that more too. And I think when this comes back to RPIC, those concerns will be alleviated. The cumulative impacts is something that we do have a concern about, largely because the EIR for the regional plan and the TVAP originally and the 2021 TVAP amendments all use the old VMT threshold, which was a solid cap. So now we're looking to reduce VMT per capita. And unless these projects are actually helping to reduce VMT per capita, the ones in the pipeline, the ones being considered under these amendments, they can't be approved. And the same is with Palisades. So now we have Palisades in the mix. It's come back, it's adding VMT to the basin, but it's not adding the capita side of that equation to the basin. So it's putting the burden on the basin and on Placer County in particular within the basin to alleviate those impacts. So for those reasons, we do think there needs to be a more detailed environmental review with the new TRPA threshold. And the last thing is the PIA tool screening, the 1300 VMT threshold, totally in favor of those projects being screened out. We'll talk about this more at the Latitude project later today, but there are some concerns with the tool in its current form. So, sorry I went over. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. You didn't go over. There's no one else? See no one else? So, Catherine or Maria, any public comments out there online?
Mr. Chair, we have several hands raised to make comment online. Christina Hill, if you unmute, you can address the committee.
Hi, thank you very much. I appreciate Placer County's effort at making things more streamlined for in the review process. As a land use planner in Tahoe for 40 years, I couldn't get any more difficult, so that's good. My main concern is that you're amending the regional plan, and when you amend the regional plan, you have to make findings that it is in compliance with the thresholds. And I haven't seen any of that findings in writing. And there hasn't been any findings that I know of in writing that support their assumptions that they meet the thresholds. So that is something I would like to see done. And also, you know, all this requirements and for affordable housing and incomes and deed restriction, you know, that doesn't mean anything unless it's enforced. And it seems to me that TRPA has a very limited enforcement department. I mean, you have Steve Sweet and maybe one other person. If we're going to have these new regulations, and they're not new because they're existing today, but they need to be enforced. I mean, you need to have someone who keeps track of who is renting these units and what is their income, and that needs to be in writing and show evidence to support their ability to live in these places. You know, I'm afraid that there is a housing crisis. However, building more million-dollar condos is not going to solve it. And I don't see how this is going to be prevented, because, you know, it needs to be enforced and it won't be. Also, the idea that the public, I mean, the population has declined is not, I don't think that's factual at this time in 2022. As with COVID, we became Zoom towns and our population in Incline Village has doubled. And I don't see, you know, including traffic and all the headaches that come around with more population. So I think those numbers need to be adjusted. And that's my only comment, other than I'd like to enforce the fact that the league has mentioned that there needs to be more environmental review. A exception isn't going to make it because it hasn't been done. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Next.
Next hand raise is Steve Teixeira. Steve, if you unmute, you can address the committee.
Thank you, Chairman Yates and members of the committee. Steve Teixeira on behalf of my company, Sustainable Community Advocates. I've attended Planning Commission meetings, North Tahoe Regional Advisory Council meetings on the subject. And I want to just reinforce for Placer County the importance of what has been done today in terms of providing context for these amendments. TRPA really does a good job on a number of issues of providing some context so that people, both those who make decisions on planning matters and projects and members of the public, can understand the context in which these amendments, in this case, are being put forward. I really appreciate that approach and encourage the county to do more of that when they go back out to Planning Commission, Board of Supervisors, et cetera, and of course, back to TRPA. So, Mr. Chairman, your comments at the beginning in context were really appropriate. And other comments I would like to agree with, including Mr. Honigman's comments about the difficulty of development and how that's done financially, not only with respect to affordable housing and how difficult that is, but there hasn't been, as been mentioned, a new hotel on the north shore of Lake Tahoe since the Tahoe City Inn in 1964. And our good local investor, Mr. Samir Tuma, has spent 10 years trying to get the Tahoe City Lodge under construction through all kinds of challenges. So these amendments are really appropriate. I think more work needs to be done to explain to the public why they're needed, what they do. A couple of years ago, I participated in a height workshop, which I believe was done by TRPA. Height is a very confusing issue, and it's confusing a lot of people. And there may be a good opportunity to do a workshop explaining to people the change from stories to feet and what appurtenances are. So that might be something the county considers doing, maybe in partnership with TRPA, to do a workshop on height so that people understand what is happening. It is important for private sector investors. They're going to be engaged to have some predictability. And there is a cost of doing nothing, which if there is a further environmental review, that ought to be identified as well. And one additional item, just because I know we're short on time, I heard some comments about mobile vending. I understand those. The city of South Lake Tahoe a couple of years ago did a really good job of surveying local restaurants, taking input, and coming up with what I think is a pretty good mobile vending ordinance. And it may be something the county wants to look at as they move this package forward. But we support the package, and but it's some additional work and public outreach certainly needs to occur. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Next.
The next hand raised is Ann Nichols. Ann, if you unmute, you can address the committee.
Yeah, good to have, I guess it's almost afternoon. Ann Nichols, North Tahoe Preservation Alliance. This is a little discouraging. I think there's seven of you on this committee, and three have said that the public is has misconceptions and just complains about everything. I think the public has real concerns, and it's shared by nearly all the environmental groups, Sierra Club, you know, Friends of the West Shore, Mountain Area Preservation, the League. Really, what good does it do you guys to criticize the public and our concerns? This is a very complicated plan. And, you know, we've only had about a month and a half to work on it. It's 800 pages. And, you know, we've been trying to get explanations as we can, but the county has tried, but can't always answer stuff, particularly about this achievable and affordable income aspect. Now in Placer County, you can make $266,000 a year and have single family achievable deed restricted housing. Now, only 5% of the working people in the United States make that kind of money. And then in Washoe County, you can make just under $500,000 only and qualify for deed restricted housing. Now, that's only 1.8% of the working public qualifies for that. This has not been given out to the public. The public needs to understand what this deed restrictions, what it means, because if you're a builder, I'm a realtor for 50 years. I build a commercial building. I did it according to what was allowed, so I didn't have a problem. But anyway, it wasn't as big as some of these things. But so what they're going to build, they're going to build the most expensive units they can. For instance, my favorite project, Boulder Bay, Colony Inn motel room now is a 6,000 square foot penthouse through, you know, conversions and bonus and CEP. And all these pictures, you know, of all this terrible conditions in Kings Beach, those are CEP projects that have failed because obviously the people didn't have the money to do them and they're trying to build projects that are too big. So this is a national problem. It's not unique to Tahoe. And I don't think you're pressing the right levers to fix it. All you're doing is, you know, relying again on development like you did in 2012 with that BAE study. I think we have to stop relying on developers to do this stuff. Let developers develop, you know, this is not the lever. I appreciate your time. I hope that you will throw out achievable housing and redo that whole methodology. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann.
The next hand raised is Toby Tyler. Toby, if you unmute, you can address the committee.
My name is Toby Tyler, and I'm with the Tahoe Area Group of the Sierra Club. We wrote two letters regarding the county's proposal to amend their Tahoe Basin Area Plan. We agree that workforce housing is needed, but achievable is not affordable to the workforce, and there is no enforcement done to ensure the housing that's built is actually affordable. We also agree with the comments from the community members who have spoken up against these amendments. The main thing I'd like to emphasize is that it's extremely important that the county comply fully with California Environmental Quality Act and not use CEQA exemptions for these amendments, which are wide-ranging and given the information provided, will most assuredly pose significant environmental impacts on transportation, greenhouse gas emissions, water quality, scenic, climate, and evacuation hazards over a 72-square-mile area. The public needs much more information than has been provided and needs to be able to review and comment on a thorough analysis of the impacts. Just saying that these amendments don't increase density does not make it so. Details must be provided to prove this claim. The entire basin is in a high fire danger area, so relying on what was stated in the 2016 EIR is not acceptable, since there was no actual evidence provided, only conjecture, such as, quote, impacts would likely be immeasurable, unquote, and roadways, quote, would likely be controlled by emergency personnel, unquote, regarding using TRPA BMT standards, those were revised and no longer exist as such, and therefore a full analysis of how this plan would affect transportation in the basin needs to be done. The climate change impacts need to be fully analyzed with permanent, enforceable, verifiable, and quantifiable performance standards. Likewise, cumulative impacts must be fully analyzed. In addition, a thorough analysis of past mitigation measures that have not been completed or were ineffective needs to be done. Basing these amendments on a highly speculative economic study is also unacceptable. That concludes my comments.
Thank you, Toby. Next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Next is Paul and Laura Miller. Millers, if you unmute, you can address the committee.
Good day. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak. I hope you folks can hear me. I'm glad you can't see me right now. We've been digging out about 4 feet of snow. I live here on the West Shore in Homewood. It's a pop 180 people. My grand. Here today to say that I'm a complainer and I don't support the proposed amendments. I apologize for my emotion, but I'm looking right now at the beautiful lake that in the 20s or early teens of the last century was considered by Congress to become a national park. I think that these amendments are for developers. I don't think that they're for our community, and I certainly don't think there's anything environmental about them. I think that our local contractors have met the building requirements, the building department's requirements, and I just don't think it's fair to take away those requirements, to quote my husband, so developers can put in something, pardon my French, crappier, easier. I'm reminded of Colorado's corridor on Highway 70 with these most efficient five-story condos that sit empty. I'm concerned, as everyone is, about affordable housing, but I believe we gave that away with the STRs. I think it's funny that Stephanie Holloway and Crystal Jacobson, a number of years ago, were in charge of the STR project, and now here they are using the affordable housing paintbrush to push these amendments through. I'm surprised that no one's mentioning a water treatment facility with all these additional densities of people coming in. I'm concerned about our water source issues. I'm concerned about the fire evacuation. As we all remember the Caldor fire last year and the images of South Lake Tahoe. I don't like the idea of camping and recreational vehicles on our public roads. I'm reminded of Blackwood and people going back there and dumping their brown water. I don't like the idea of food trucks and street vendors. Where are you going to put your ice bucket slop and your hot dog cart juices and sludge? Again, where are the sewage treatment facilities to support this increase? I think that these amendments are reckless, and I think that that needs to be considered because there are folks saying that they can't read the 800-page documents. I apologize for not being more prepared, but I certainly hope that you listen to the comments, Publix, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
The next hand raise is Megan Chalemi. Megan, if you unmute, you can address the committee.
Yes, I can.
101 on height and density. Now, my husband, Jack, worked with for 2.5 years with on the original area plan, and we attended many committee meetings and town hall meetings and meetings to see how these things would work. As many folks have already voiced, height is a big concern. The original area plan team envisioned 48 feet or up to five stories on the mountainside, but only 36 feet on the lakeside. If we build five-story buildings on the lakeside, on the north shore, what we're going to have is a huge shadowing effect for the sidewalks on the beach side, for the Highway 28, and a shadowing effect like here in King's Beach on all of the lower grid. One member of the community that lived there said it would be in a continual state of permafrost. We are also very concerned about preserving the retail on the lakeside. We have 22 structures right here in King's Beach, retail structures. Now, what we've seen in projects in the last 5-10 years have been mostly residential to take advantage of the view of Lake Tahoe. Now, that should be provided to all members of the public and all of our visitors. Now, we've got to make sure that if there are mixed uses on the lakeside in the town centers, residential is the smallest percentage. And just to close, you know, we're not Roseville or Auburn or Santa Clara or San Jose. We want to maintain our rural character. In King's Beach, it's known as it's always been since the 60s, is a lakeside community, a funky little beach town. And I think that we really want to maintain that rural character. Also, our roads, our infrastructure cannot support increased density as been proposed in these plans. But I thank you very much for affording me the time to present my comments. But I think these amendments need a lot more review and discussion. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next hand raise is Samir Tuma. Samir, if you unmute, you can address the committee.
Good morning. My name is Samir Tuma. I'm on the board of directors for the North Lake Tahoe Resort Association, as well as a developer of both hotels and workforce housing. Appreciate the opportunity to speak with you this morning. The last time a hotel was built, Mr. Chair referred to that 1964 in North Lake. At that time, the population of the state of California was 17 million people. Today, we have 39 million people in the state of California. The math, obviously, a growth of 22 million people. This growth is what is driving additional tourism into the basin. During that time, since that time, we've not built any hotels, and we built very little workforce housing. The consequence of this is we have forced the tourists who are coming anyway into the neighborhoods, and we've displaced workforce from those houses. The failure to build the hotels has also led to very little activity in our town centers, which the consequence of which is blighted downtowns, traffic goes into the neighborhoods, and we also have a decreasing population and failing businesses. We have to accept the fact that the growth is going to continue to happen in population, and that means more people will come to the area. Building hotels and building housing doesn't bring more people to the area. What it does is it delivers a better quality of life to the residents. Better quality of life because we can concentrate the activity in the town centers and in the cores and get it out of the neighborhoods. So there's uniform support for building more housing. And on the hotel front, I think there's a lot of support for that. However, there's some very significant continued impediments to doing that. And I'd like to point to a couple of the comments that board member Honigman made, which first of all is height. The additional 5 feet of height that's being asked for, he commented the fact that it helps with the head height for retail on the ground floor, but it's also extremely important to the head height for rooms in hotels. We have the Cal Neva, which sits on the lake, on the front of Lake Tahoe, traded hands several times, still hasn't been developed. And the number one reason is you cannot put luxury high-end hotel rooms in those rooms that exist because of their head height. 8 and 9 feet simply doesn't work. The other comment that he made was related to floor area ratio. And he is spot on that. If the incentives that we have in the community right now incentivize large houses that are expensive, we have to go to a floor area ratio calculation. And we also have to scale fees, not per unit, but rather based on the size of the units. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Next hand raise is Nick Exline. Nick, if you unmute, you can address the committee.
Thank you so much, committee members. My name is Nick Exline, South Lake Tahoe resident and local land use planning consultant. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak today. I would just like to touch on a few different points. I am supportive of these amendment measures, and I too would like to compliment Placer County and TRPA staffs on these efforts to start to address some of the challenges that face us, specifically the challenges of bringing affordable housing to our community. Working on land use planning projects, I can attest, it'd take much longer than 3 minutes, of the challenges of bringing affordable housing here to the basin. Fundamentally, as others have said, the systems as it exists does not incentivize affordable. It incentivizes highest best use. And so if we're looking to require and incentivize people to bring affordable housing to our communities, we need to create incentive mechanisms within those projects to allow for them to finance that affordable housing process and projects. That's exactly what these efforts do. It's a very, very positive step to bring incentives to where the need exists, and that being affordable housing. I'd like to touch on a couple other items, specifically as it relates to height. I'm also in favor of the height amendment for many of the reasons others have cited, but just to touch on a few different points. There's many, many TRPA and scenic regulatory processes that exist that will ensure that the scenic concerns brought up by many that question the additional height will be addressed, as far as examples of, you know, breaking up ridgeline, not extending above the forest canopy, and so forth. In addition, there's been many comments about the shadowing effect. I would argue the addition of 5 extra feet to incentivize affordable housing from shadow effect is non-existent. And I would submit that the issues with the freeze thaw that exists in these communities is because of poor water flow, and redevelopment would help to incentivize better water flow. I would also like to touch on the environmental issues. Most of these parcels that would be sought to be redeveloped do not maintain existing BMPs today. It's a huge water quality issue. Single greatest contributor to greenhouse gases in the Tahoe Basin are energy inefficient structures. These would be the structures that would be incentivized to be redeveloped. So I submit, as we look to solve our greenhouse gas issue challenges, redevelopment is at the heart of that solution. And then finally, fire preparedness has been referenced by many, and I think that's a valuable concern as a South Lake Tahoe resident, I can attest to that. However, it's very important that we make sure we provide housing so those individuals working at the fire department can live in our communities, can help direct us out of in the event of a fire. So I'm in broad support of these amendments, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Catherine.
Mr. Chair, there are no other hands raised to comment on this item.
So I will close public hearing and return for any further comments, questions? Yes.
I have one clarification because it was referenced by a couple people. I didn't mean to disparage people who voice their concerns. I think that your input makes things better, and I think we all appreciate it. So I just wanted to clarify that. I also wanted to
clarify an understanding I have about what we are talking about doing, because people have referenced it as if it's new development potential. But what we're really talking about right now, everything that's being built around the lake is pretty much a single family home, and they're getting bigger and bigger, and they cover a ton of land, and they're in the WUI, and they're all auto dependent, not possibly served by transit or even walkable to anything. What we're talking about doing is not adding more development, I believe, but just consolidating it in our downtowns to the extent possible and making it for people who live here instead of second homeowners and short-term rentals. So that's my understanding of what we're doing, which to me is environmental win-win-win-win-win and a traffic win-win-win and a affordability win. We'll end up with actually less built environment because the units will be smaller. They won't be 5,000 square foot single family homes. There'll be some of them studios, some of them 1,000 square foot, two bedrooms, stuff like that. So I just wanted to confirm that, you know, that is the trade-off that we're talking about, that we're not adding anything new. We're talking about just converting it from single family homes in the WUI. So also better for fire and everything. So it just seems like all around this is a win to me, but I wanted to kind of confirm that because I'm rather new. So thank you.
That's just for confirmation, just because I've been here for 10 years, I think that the regional plan was trying its best to focus on town centers, created the town centers, the area plans that were developed have focused on town centers. As pointed out by Placer County staff report, we're having difficulty getting the kind of development we thought would occur. And so maybe there's some additional changes that need to be made. Any other senators? You have some? No? So Cindy, you have a closing comment?
Well, I thank you, Vince, for clarifying your comments, because I don't want the public to feel that because we think there are some comments that we've received that had misconceptions, that all did. And I certainly don't think everybody who comments or the vast majority are just complainers, but we do want to make sure that we're looking out beyond just two comments here and all the other meetings and work that is going on constantly to address community issues and preserve not only our lake, but our communities in North Lake Tahoe. And forgive me for just diverging for just a minute to say a couple of things about what we're facing. So I'm a little bit older than the four that presented from Placer County staff. So I've had the benefit of serving on the first community plan team, I think in the basin, and when Tahoe City Advisory Plan Team was set up. And might have been the first or second one adopted by the TRPA. And at that time, we were talking about many of the same issues. And what we did, not only as plan team members, was write the plan, we then fought to implement it by raising money, by getting bond measures, by getting the TOT allocated the extra 2%. And what that did was free up many millions of dollars to public infrastructure. And we paved the way, we hoped, for new investment, because we identified that was a problem in 1986. We started and the plan was adopted in 92, I think, if my memory serves me. But that's a problem when you get older too. And so we built sidewalks. We built the first area-wide storm drainage program in the basin for the whole Tahoe City core. And we said, if we raise the money for that, now private investment can come in on top of that and take advantage of an area-wide drainage system, area-wide sidewalks. By the way, we have the largest bike trail network in the basin, not driven by new development, but driven by our community's desire to address issues far in advance of requirements that later now we see have come into code where we must build complete streets. We were building those because they were the right things to do many years before they were required. But we still didn't see private investment, mirroring what this lake demands. So I appreciate that staff has tried to address some of those issues. I take great, great, great pride in what we have done on the North Shore to preserve our community. But unfortunately, we're preserving antiquated infrastructure. The boatworks is almost empty. We have less businesses and more vacancy on the North Shore than ever in 40 years of living there. And that includes Kings Beach and Tahoe City. We have less full-time residents. What caused that? Housing values. When I came here, I could still buy a house on a local income, middle-class wage. 73% are second homes. They can pay more for these homes than a local can pay. 15% are short-term rentals, and we've taken dramatic steps to regulate short-term rentals and are willing to go further. If we can get new hotels, we can further cap and reduce short-term rentals and not affect what we're getting the millions of dollars to do in infrastructure. We have the first micro mass transit system. Nobody required it. The event center required micro mass transit. The approval's there. We did it on our own. So I'm sorry to be so impassioned about North Shore, but we are doing a lot to proactively address within the limits, as Stephanie said, of the funding we have. But without private investment, we can't sustain it. We can't go on forever solving these issues on government subsidy unless the locals want to pass taxes on themselves. And we found that not that a two-thirds majority in California doesn't want to do that. So we end up having to rely on new development and conditions to make it. I think we have room to address the community's concerns. The glass is always, and the pitcher is always glass half full. I think, need to clarify more and try to help where there are misconceptions, corrections. We may not change people's opinions, but let's get the facts clear to those folks. And I'm saying this to my county staff as much as to all of us. You know, we need to work together, and we need everybody at least understanding the challenges and seeing if we can find solutions that are moderated and but still help us get to those goals. And doing nothing isn't helping us get there. We've seen that. And it goes beyond the 5 years of the area plan. Many of us were working on area plans and area plans and area plans and community plans and plan area statements and going way back, and still nothing has happened. So what can we do? And those developments that have happened have been the multi-million dollar luxury product, and that is not helping our communities be sustainable. So anyway, thank you for indulging me in my passion plea to let's work together, but let's recognize that many of these mitigations have already been done trying to incentivize that development. Thanks.
Thank you, Cindy. That's a good wrap up. I see Karen Fink sitting out there in the audience, and I also appreciate the fact, because there's changes to regional plan and area plan, that's why it would come to our pick. But this issue probably should also go to local government. How are we, TRPA, you know, the Housing Task Force, working with Placer County? I mean, I appreciate Placer County starting it off and taking all the heat, but the reality is this is a basin-wide problem. And I know that our staff has started it, but I think we need to work, really, as Cindy said, we need to work together. So hopefully in the future, near future, something like this is going to happen before the Housing Committee, and that we'll get everybody in, and especially making sure the public really understands the overall issue, and then to hear their concerns, legitimate concerns for people that have roots into Lake Tahoe almost as deep or deeper than Cindy. That change is an issue. I understand. I've been there. I know it. But this is really for the future of the lake, is to also address the community concerns. And the regional plan was a difference. It really was 10 years ago in adopting that plan. Staking out, we want to focus the development into town centers. We wanted to get them off the stream environment zones. It's still needs to be implemented and it needs to be enforced. So thank you all for this very good presentation. I'm sorry, Shelley, it's taken a little bit longer, but now I'd like to move on to any. What happened? I was trying to turn my cell phone off. I see no committee. That's good. Now, Madam, you had your comment. This is the time. We're going to have the public interest comment period. Thank you very much. Would you turn on your, someone help her turn on her light? It's the face on the thing. There you got it.
Thank you.
And then if you tell me your name.
Elizabeth Lernhardt. I'm a resident of Zephyr Cove.
Thank you.
And I would like to today comment on against the CMP I-50 East Shore Lane Reduction Plan as proposed by NDOT. I'm obviously a stakeholder living on that road and this road being our main access and evacuation road. I have great reservation about the integrity of NDOT regarding their public outreach and regarding the way they negotiate this with Douglas County. Residents have tried to get NDOT to improve safety along I-50, especially for Cave Rock to Round Hill for 22 years. I pulled an article out of the Tahoe Tribune from 2001 that asked for exactly the same thing we're asking today. NDOT was not interested in it. Now, as the repurposing of the road comes up, in plain English, reducing the lanes from 4 lanes to 2 lanes, they're all on board. This is not what residents want or need. Biking or hiking lanes are fine, but not at the expense of the general traffic. Their public outreach has been a joke. Despite requests from several attendees that they get called back from NDOT, they never received a call. The negotiations were behind our back in secrecy with Douglas County, except for Glenbrook HOA, because you, as you mentioned in your August 24th meeting, these people are tougher to please. How fair is that? I live in Skyland. Our chairperson found out during the process that after 7 years of negotiating with NDOT and other agencies, including this one, to rebuild the fence along I-50, and which was completed this October, NDOT now realizes it's in conflict with their plans and wants to take it back out. There's also a complete disregard to the concerns of the public for fire evacuation and for ambulance access by reducing the lanes. These negative feedback will be filtered out by NDOT and disregarded. None of their 6 mottos on their brochure even mentions locals. Despite the multitude of traffic issues that clearly are here and the possible diverse solution, NDOT has only one answer: lane reductions to accommodate bikers. Wood Rogers, their consultants, have said TRPA made the decision to change the execution of the way the state line to state line bike path will be realized from Spooner Summit to Round Hill. You need to revisit that decision, especially because it sounded to me it was solely driven by cost, against discriminating Douglas County residents versus Washoe County. Why are you and all the other government agencies so keen of destroying the basin? Do you really lack the insight that visitors are going to be okay with these changes? Would they have the same response as the locals? Congestion, lack of parking, overdevelopment is not why we come here. Fodor has called for a break for Tahoe. So has the Reno Gazette. They really clearly lay the fault at government agencies' overdevelopment in the area in a surge of revenue. I'm not trying to slide Placer County. They obviously have a different intention. But when it comes to the East Shore, this seems to be the case. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. So, any other?
Mr. Chair, we have a couple hands raised.
We have Ellie up here. Ahead. Okay.
Hi, I just want to take this opportunity to personally thank Bill Yates
He has a long list of accolades. I'm sure it's going to be presented later today. Don't know if I'm going to make that part of the meeting. I'm hoping to. But thank you personally, Bill, for what you've done for the state of California with that long list and for what you have brought to the regional plan update and to this committee. And most people that don't know you, it's a loss. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ellie. There are two other comments online. Yes.
Leah Kaufman, if you'd like to go ahead and address the committee.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, hi.
Welcome,
Leah. It's been a long time. Hi, Bill. I haven't seen you for a while. I do want to thank Placer County and DRPA for working, and I do agree with many of the amendments. One of the things that I would caution is I do not believe the silent majority is supportive of five-story high buildings. When you talk to tourists and you talk to the local community, they're kind of appalled. And I do agree with, I think it was Steve that said that we should have a workshop that might help. I believe that you can be pretty creative. I've talked to several architects. I've also researched the town of Windsor, Sonoma, Carmel. I have a lot of information. So I would be glad to share with the county if we could enact some of our original plan team members. The other thing, I wanted to echo what Toby Tyler said, and that is basically the conversion of commercial floor area to other entitlements. I don't know if it's tracked, but I'm going to give you an example. 3,500 square feet of CFA equals 17.5 multiple family units. For example, a restaurant would require 5 parking spaces or 17 spaces. A professional office would be 12.25. The multiple family would require 35 spaces. So there is morphing, and I don't know if it's within the context of having been evaluated, but in my opinion, there are density increases simply because now, and it's not necessarily bad, you are allowed to have a tiny home, an ADU, and a JADU. So that's 3, whereas it's always been 1. Increasing lot size is kind of a morphing of density. So that being said, I just wanted to close and say that there's been great redevelopment projects. They have been slow, but they haven't been given the money by the county that the larger project has. Cedar Glen Lodge was purchased for $1.8 million less than 10 years ago, upgraded for $1.5, and it just sold for $10 million. And that was a six, it's penciling at 32 units at a $10 million price tag because it's cute, it's updated, it's got beautiful amenities. And that's what a lot of the people come here to see. I'm opposed to homogenizing the North Shore if the North Shore doesn't want to be homogenized. And if people are opposed to 5 stories, try to make things work within the 2017 plan. I think Samir Tumba's project has been approved with under that height. And maybe projects don't move forward because of economy or financing. I don't know. But we're not unique. And if you talk to other counties, if you talk to other cities and municipalities, they will tell you that they are having these same problems. And lastly, there's one more project in Tahoe City called Evo that bought America's Best Value in and the Blue Agave. And they go around all over in ski communities and they retrofit existing what they have. And they seem to be making a financial project. Profit. So thank you for listening. And I would be glad to, I'm retired. I have no hand in any of these projects, but I would be glad to offer my services and help maybe craft some of these ordinances to be a little bit more realistic. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Catherine?
Next, we have Ann Nichols, if you'd like to go ahead and address the committee.
Hi, Ann Nichols, North Tahoe Preservation Alliance again. Yeah, thanks so much, Bill. You know, you helped me out in 2007, back when the SEPs first started. It was very good. I appreciated it. Anyway, I also wanted to say that, you know, there's been a lot of redoing of businesses in Kings Beach. They make it sound like we're just a hole. But, you know, there was the Chalet was redone. It was a boutique lodging place. You know, the burrito window remodeled. The base, you know, the White Caps, the, you know, there's just a lot of cute businesses. The only problems are the SEP projects. They're still not going. And, you know, so anyway, and the 14 projects that are on the books will supply thousands of units. So if we're only short, what did they say, 400 hotel units, something like that, we're looking at a couple thousand. We've got Boulder Bay. We have Kings Beach redevelopment. Kings Beach mixed use. We've got Ferrari La Lima. We still have Martis Valley West is not dead. Still there, 700 units, 760. We've still got Homewood. We still have Tahoe City Lodge. I guess Samir's short on money. I don't know. Then we've got the Boatworks redevelopment. We've got Squaw Valley. We have thousands of units, thousands of cars, and thousands of trips. Thanks.
We've given you an opportunity to speak on the agenda item. This was for issues not on the agenda item.
Okay, I'm done. Right. Thank you, though.
Thank you, Ann.
Tulane Road is all we have.
So I'm going to close public comment, assuming we don't have anything else, right? Is that correct?
No, Mr. Chair. There are no other hands raised.
And is there a motion to adjourn this very long RPIC meeting?
So moved.
Hearing no objection, I will deem adjourned. Thank you very much.